Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the 26th recording, where we're completing the chapter of Lady Fatima radiallahu anha, the blooming rose. And we're on page 125, and it'll take us through 130. And the next chapter is about Khadija, radiallahu anha. So we begin with the Fatiha, and then we'll begin the reading. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. Life continued with the noble married couple in the way of love and cooperation. Fatima served her husband in their house in the best way she could and let go little by little of the sadness and contraction she used to feel. Ali always took her side, providing her with the love and care that enabled her to bear her difficult, rough life, especially since her health did not adapt to the weather in Al-Madinah. She was not as familiar with Al-Madinah as many of the other emigrants were. Ali tried his best to be gentle with her and taught himself how to be soft and easy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then willed to delight the eyes of Fatima and to delight the eyes of the people of the Prophet's household by giving her Al-Hasan, her eldest son, who was born the third year after the emigration. Upon hearing the happy news, the Messenger of Allah ran and took the child between his hands, reciting the call of the prayer in his ears. He gazed at him tenderly and happily, remembering his own two sons who Allah had taken while they were infants. The whole of Al-Madinah celebrated the birth of Al-Hasan with the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Al-Hasan's grandfather gave the poor silver that weighed the equivalent of Al-Hasan's hair. He watched life bloom in this precious child, and after less than 2 years, Al-Hasan was followed by his brother Hussein in the month of Sha'ban, after more than 4 years after the emigration. The Prophet's heart opened to these precious grandsons who filled the lap of the mother of her father. Azara, in them he saw an expansion of his special life on this earth. In them he found a breath to emanate his overwhelming, tender, fatherly emotion, because he had given up the idea of having sons after the death of his wife Khadija, radiallahu anha. At the time, the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was about 57 years old, and 7 years had passed since Khadija's death. Except through Fatima, death had cut off his descendancy. It's no wonder that he was so open to Al-Hasan and Hussein, showering them with the love and tenderness that filled his great heart. He poured his fatherly emotions upon them because he had been deprived of sons in spite of taking several wives. He called them his sons. Anas ibn Malik narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say to Fatima, "Call my sons for me." When they would come, he would embrace them and breathe their fragrance. The births of Ali Hassan and Hussein provided the only descent of the lineage of the seal of all the prophets and showed Allah's special favor for Az-Zahra and Ali. Through them, he preserved the best lineage known to humanity since humanity was created. Eventually, Allah willed for Fatima to honorably enter Makkah with her father and her husband after the Prophet ﷺ opened Makkah. They stayed there for 2 months and 9 days before returning to Al-Madinah, the city of the supporters. This took place 8 years after the emigration. She entered Makkah during Ramadan and left on Dhul Qidah after performing the minor pilgrimage of the Umrah. Allah willed that she enjoy an easy life at that time. She was honored, and the sadness that had accumulated by the shocks of her earlier life were lightened. Her health improved after Ali experienced some ease in the 9th year after the immigration, when he had been able to hire a servant to help her. This gave her time to raise her sons well. But then she lost her sister, Kalfam, and later the Prophet ﷺ lost his son, Ibrahim. Now none of his offspring remained except her. Then a great event took place in her life when her father complained of illness in the 11th year after the immigration. Everyone thought it was a temporary illness, and no one thought it could be an illness that would lead to death. But when Az-Zahra was told that her father wanted to see her, she felt a panic. She ran to his house. When she arrived, she found all of his wives there. Fatima looked like her father, and she also had his qualities. He smiled when he saw her approaching and said, "Welcome, my daughter," kissed her. He let her sit on his right side of the bed and whispered to her that his time to leave this world had come. She began to weep, but then he whispered to her that she would be the first from his family members to join him. So she smiled. He then added, "Fatima, are not you satisfied being the first lady of all the faithful believers?" Or he said, are not you satisfied being the first lady of this nation, this Ummah?" She was glad to hear what he said, and she laughed. Aisha marveled at Fatima's reaction. Wait a minute. Let me see. She was glad to hear what he said, and she laughed. Aisha marveled at Fatima's reaction, saying, "I have never seen happiness that is close to sadness as I have seen today." Aisha waited for a suitable chance and asked Fatima about what had made her weep and then laugh. But Fatima replied, "I will not reveal a secret with which the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has entrusted me." Fatima returned to her house. She knew that the Messenger of Allah had been sick for a while, and when his illness intensified at the house of Maimuna bint Arharith, one of the mothers of the believers, he invited all the mothers of the believers and asked their permission to stay at Aisha's house. Fatima was always at his side, taking care of his needs, patiently being strong, and continuously supplicating Allah. But her patience betrayed her one time when she saw her father's pain intensify. He would take water and pour it on his head. She could not hold back her tears, and with a voice full of pain and agony, she said, "Oh, my father, I feel your pain." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered her tenderly and assuringly, "Your father will never experience any distress after today." This was because Allah's decree had come and the Prophet's soul was taken to join the High Assembly, Arafiq al-Allah. He left Az-Zahra a sad orphan who could not find solace. His death so shocked her that she fainted, and when she gained consciousness, people already had given their pledge to Abu Bakr in Saqifah to be the Prophet's successor. 2 days had passed since the Prophet's death when Fatima went to visit the grave of her beloved father, and her legs, they could barely carry her, and when she arrived, she took a handful of dust and brought it close to her eyes, and she smelled it. Spontaneously spoke the following verses. Why would I be blamed for smelling Ahmad's grave when the odor of my calamities have been smelled across time? Disaster after disaster has been poured upon me. If they were poured on days, they would return to them. They would return them to nights. She began to weep, causing others to weep as they watched her let the dust fall slowly from her fingers in agony. Looking at her empty hand, she paused and then left, as if she had emptied herself of the world. People followed her with their tearful eyes and broken hearts, and when she arrived home, Anas ibn Malik, her father's servant, asked to see her. He began to advise her to hold on to noble patience, but she asked him, "How can your heart allow you to submit the Prophet's body to dust?" Anas's tears ran down his cheeks, and he could not utter any words of solace or patience. How could there be any solace or any patience with such a great loss? Ali came to the house and accompanied by some men of Hashim descent, and they began to speak about the pledge given to Abu Bakr. Fatima could hear them, and they mentioned how the Prophet ﷺ took Ali as a brother when he set the brotherhood tie after the emigration. They remembered how Ali was there with the Prophet in all the battles except the Battle of Tabuk, because the Prophet ﷺ had put him in charge of Al-Madina. Ali was the one who carried the flag of the emigrants during the Battle of Uhud and the Prophet's flag during the Battle of Bani Qurayda, the Battle of Hamr al-Asad, and the Battle of Hunain. He carried the flag of Islam during the Battle of Khaybar. The flag was made from Aisha's garment. They remembered when the Prophet ﷺ said, "I shall give the flag to a man through whom Allah will make the opening in his hands." Every man wished to be given the flag that day, but the Messenger of Allah ﷺ said, he asked, "Where is Ali?" In another narration, it was mentioned that Umar ibn Khattab was expecting to be given the flag and wishing for it, but the next day the Prophet ﷺ called Ali and gave it to him. It was narrated that on the day of the opening, the flag was in the hands of Sa'ad ibn Ibadah, the supporter radiallahu anhu, and the Messenger of Allah ﷺ said to Ali, "Catch him and take it from him, because it is you who should enter carrying it." The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, once said to Ali, Are you not satisfied to be to me like Harun was to Musa, except there will be no prophet after me? However, you will be the guardian protector, the wali of every faithful believer after me, who takes me as his guardian protector. Ali is his guardian protector. No one loves him except a faithful believer, mu'min. No one hates him except a hypocrite, munafiq. This was how Hashim's descendants were remembering how the Prophet ﷺ loved Ali and raised him to a high position. And this is why they were all wishing that the pledge, the abaya of succession, the khalifa, the khilafa, had been given to him. But it was too late, because the pledge had already been given to Abu Bakr. Az-Zahra was listening, but she didn't comment. After the Prophet's death, she spent most of her time in seclusion. She did not even want to argue about her inheritance. Sadness had left no room for anything else, and Ali gave his pledge to Abu Bakr, even though he was not present in Saqifa when Abu Bakr was given the pledge. When asked about the matter, Ali asked, "Would it have been appropriate to leave the Prophet's body and the burial duty and go to Saqifa to ask to be his successor?" And whenever Fatima was asked about the matter, she would respond, "Al-Hassan's father did what must be done." Az-Zahra left the world after her father died, and she never slept except with tears. Solace became difficult to obtain, and sadness overcame her patience, and her only hope was that she would soon join her father as he had informed her. The wish came true. It was a Monday, the second day of Ramadan in the 11th year after the emigration. Fatima embraced her family members and filled her eyes with them, and she approached Rafia, who was her father's servant, and in a low voice she asked, "Would you please help me take a shower?" She was not feeling well, but she took a shower and wore the best and newest of her garments, and then she asked Rafia, "Would you please place in my bed in the middle of the house, facing the Qibla?" She was preparing herself to meet her Lord and her beloved father. She lay down on the bed and closed her eyes and slept. Ali arrived to find that she had already passed away. He wept as he carried her and buried her at night and said his final farewell, and he returned home to his young children and a house with an emptiness left behind by Fatima's absence. The Muslim community went to her grave to say farewell to the last daughter of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She died 6 months after him. None of his daughters lived beyond 35 years old. Finally, the shattered family had gathered again, but not in this world. The tender dust of Al-Madina al-Munawwara had joined the bodies of Fatima, her father, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and her three sisters, Zainab, Ruqayya, and Kalthum, radiallahu anha. Time had turned the page of Az-Zahra's life, but it was soon realized through many events that the mother of her father was still filling the life of this world through her pure lineage, the family of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That brings us to the close of this chapter. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.